Hi, I'm Lori.
And I'm Kevin, and this is No Longer Ashamed.
We are survivors of childhood sexual abuse.
And we're here to share with you that if you're a survivor, you don't have to be alone.
Our logo is a salamander, and the reason is a fire salamander can survive a fire, and you have survived a fire.
We want to help you with your journey to healing and hope.
We are all survivors together, and we walk this journey together, and you are not alone.
By telling our stories, we are hoping that you will have the courage to share your stories as well and find your voice.
Because stories are so important, and for so long, I know that I wouldn't tell my story, but when I finally shared my story, that's when I got my freedom.
And this is our journey and your journey to healing and hope. So come with us.
So today we're going to talk about something that has been really sitting with Kevin, and it's about disclosure.
Yeah, I want to talk about disclosure and also closure, because in some ways I feel they're tied together, at least. And we've talked about sharing our stories, but I think disclosure is different. It's more of the formal process of like coming out with your story with your family and or with the law, talking to officers or the courts about your what happened to you. And closure, I think, is tied to it, because when we're disclosing, what I'm concerned about is what is our motive for disclosure? What are we trying to get out of it? And I think if we're looking for closure from, you know, going to the police or bringing it up with our family and other people, I feel like we don't get closure from that, or at least the closure that we expect to get from that. And I think that's important to recognize.
I think what's interesting is how we always say, tell your story. But there's all, and we've talked about consequence of story, but I think that there's two parts. It's like, tell your story. So remember Avrame, he finally, everyone said, you got to go to a counselor, something's wrong with you. And mm-hmm. He was going to tell the counselor, but he didn't want any ramifications.
Yeah.
He just wanted to tell his story. But then the counselor was like, you have to report. And even though she said you have to, he still had the choice. But is that person still offending?
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly important reasons for disclosure, especially if the perpetrator is still hurting people and, you know, you feel like you have a reason to attempt to stop that. That's very important. And I think also with your family members, if you need to get them to understand your behaviors and or your issues.
Or why you don't come to holidays.
Yeah, or why you can't be around certain people and so forth. There's certainly important reasons for disclosure. But my other side to that is there is effects from disclosure. And not to discourage anyone from disclosing, especially when you really feel like it's necessary, but just don't go into it being gullible
or with this expectation.
Yeah, just be aware of what could happen, because especially with your family, it is personal. It's going to affect them personally. They and the way they take it will vary. You don't know how they will take it, but they're going to take it personally, and they might find offense with you, or they might find offense with the perpetrator, but it will likely lead to a change in your family dynamics.
Yeah.
There will probably be a lot of fallout, whether that fallout will be on you or the perpetrator, or in my case, my mother really suffered because she felt like she had failed us and she didn't do enough to protect us. And I never felt that way, and I never wanted her to feel that, but that was unintentional, but that was, you know, unavoidable. She just felt terrible about it.
Which is a good point, because we tell the story and then people have the choice to take it the way they want.
Yeah.
You know, we
can't control how they take it.
Right. We can be like, oh, don't feel bad, but we have no control over that.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really want to say, two things. One is, like, with the whole Bill Cosby thing, there were some women that just didn't come forward because they didn't want to be on stand and have to say everything that happened and be not believed.
Yeah.
and have a lawyer, call them a liar, call them a slut, everything else. So there are situations where it may be too painful, but also if it's to stop a perpetrator. So when I reported, the law of statutes had kicked in.
Yeah.
And so they took the report, but there was nothing they could do. So my abusers were going around the country building churches, and I had to find out where they were and call the pastor of every church, whether they believe me or not, and say, please keep the children away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big responsibility. But because statute of limitations had, you know, didn't yeah. work, then what am I supposed to do to protect others?
Yeah. And that's important. The law isn't really helpful sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's part of, like we say, the statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes it's a situation of he said, she said,
right.
and who do they believe? The person mm-hmm. who's prominent in the community or mm-hmm. someone who's just trying to make up these stories to drag them down and get attention on themselves. I mean, you don't know how they will take it. And the, you know, going through the legal system can be incredibly difficult and incredibly stressful for the survivor. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to go into it with your eyes wide open, aware of what the situation can be like mm-hmm. and what you're getting into and how long it can take and, you know, whether or not it might go in your favor or not.
And remembering to know what you know. And something Kevin said earlier that was so good is that we tell ourselves the same story we were told. So,
yeah.
Nobody's going to believe you or you're bad. And so we've been telling ourselves that story and our brain actually believes it. So then if we think I have to report and we're on stand, we have to fight that story and know what we know, what we know.
Yeah, we've been told a lie from the perpetrator right. for so long that we start to believe that lie. And so we start to believe that we are at fault, that it was our fault. And so there's definitely important reasons for disclosure. And it's I don't want to discourage anyone from doing it, but I just want to emphasize you have to be aware of what could happen and be aware of it might not come out the way you expect.
I think even more than that, Kevin, is when you think about the Holocaust,
yeah.
If you would have asked any of those people if they could endure something like this, they would have said no, right? But if you choose to disclose and that's the way you're going to go, you just have to know that you will have the courage, you will have your team around you because you've found those people that believe you. And no matter how hard it gets, and I think of Hampton too, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Hampton was the one who was abused by his wife, and even the pastor is like, you going to let her do this?
Yeah.
And it's like you build your team around you so you have that support so that you don't do it alone, because we were built for relationship. And you know, a lie that mm-hmm. I was told my whole life, I just realized this a few weeks ago, is don't go in business with anyone. Partnerships don't work. And I realized how I have tried to be an entrepreneur on my own without a team, without support, because I believed that story wherever it came from. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a bad experience. They partnered with someone. It didn't work out. And so it's so easy to believe those stories were told.
Mm-hmm.
And we're created for a relationship. And that's why in social services, we call it wraparound services, because we want to wrap around you all the support we can to help you conquer any barriers. And that's what you want to look for. You can't go in eyes wide open and know what will happen, but you can go in with your support team. You can go in with the people that are going to be like, if it goes good, they're going to celebrate. If it goes bad, they're going to be like, we're going to go beat them up.
Or at least they're going to be there for your fallout.
Right.
Because there will be fallout, whether it goes well or not.
Right.
It's still a struggle. It's still difficult. So, but the other part of what I was concerned about is closure. And I think a lot of people go to the court systems or go to their family. They try to get justice.
Mm-hmm.
Through telling their story and accusing someone and making sure that this is all brought up so that they get closure. But I really feel like that doesn't always work for people, that you're not going to find closure from someone else.
Right. If that's your expectation, you're going to be disappointed. And
yeah.
True confession, I listen to a lot of true crime. And always, in the end, they say, even when you find the suspect, even when that person goes to jail, that's not closure.
No.
The closure comes with your own self, with what we talked about before, the F word, forgiveness.
Forgiveness, yes.
It comes within our heart. That's the only way we ever get closure.
Well, I feel like if we look to other people for closure, we're running away from where we should be trying to get closure, which is from ourselves, from mm-hmm. facing the reality of what happened to us, addressing the issues we have because of what happened to us, and learning to love ourselves is the important part. Learning to forgive ourselves mm-hmm. and forgive the others if we're able to, and to love ourselves. And that's where we get real closure. We're not going to get closure by forcing someone to go to jail or get justice or to, you know.
Not that that's not important.
Yeah,
right? I'm not
saying that's not important, but I want to emphasize that I feel like when we have the motive of closure, if we're trying to find it outside of ourselves, I don't think it's not mm-hmm. going to be successful. I think we really have to find closure with ourselves, with facing the reality, addressing our issues, dealing with those issues, learning how to love ourselves, and, you know, finding our people, mm-hmm. like we talk about, find the therapist that can help us, find the people that can support us, that believe us, and we can trust them. Those are the areas that really, and when we're chasing down justice on someone else, mm-hmm. we're not working on our own healing.
Right. And what I have seen in all the years that I've worked with people in recovery is when you tell your story, when you start to recognize and be honest about what happened, then there's nothing you can do except personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to grow, you learn to forgive. And for me, I think I've said this before, but I had to put on makeup every day. It was a thing my mom made me do. And so every day I'm in the mirror, but I never looked at myself because I look like my abuser. And so I had to look in the mirror and I looked in my eyes. That's what I could say.
Mm.
I have good eyes. Thank you that I have good eyes. I love my eyes, right? It takes work to do self-love, but you know what? Self-love changes everything.
Yeah.
It is not selfish. It is the only way that you can help other people. It's the only way that you can reach your hand back down to the next person struggling, because you've got that confidence of, I'm going to be okay. Even though these things happened, I am a stronger person. And I think I've said this before, I'm an Amanda Knox groupie now because I got to interview her.
Yeah.
But I was listening to her podcast today, and I'm listening to her confidence, and I'm thinking, she went through such a horrible thing that she could just be bitter. She
yeah.
could be like, this is horrible. But instead, she's doing this amazing podcast, helping other people, because she found the place to be able to tell her story, forgive, love herself, and move on.
Move on. Yeah. And we all have a purpose. And I think that's part of our closure, is realizing that we have a purpose mm-hmm. and there is a reason we're here. As long as we're alive, there's a reason we're here. And finding that reason is part of the closure. Because mm-hmm. when we're abused, when we're taught these things that tell us we're, you know, there's something wrong with us, it was our fault, we did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
We have to unlearn that.
Right.
And then once we start to unlearn that, we can start to learn what our purpose is and learn what we are here for. And whether that's helping other survivors find their voice and get their healing, or whether it's, there's so many things we can do to help others. But by doing that, we find our purpose.
And it starts with changing the story. So telling yourself, when that voice in your head says it's all your fault, is recognizing that. And what is the truth? So when you look at yourself as a little girl, a little boy, you know it's not your fault. And so it's changing the story. And one thing as a coach that I always say, and it's funny, my clients, I think they get used to me because whenever they say should or need to, mm-hmm. I call them out. But also, whenever the story you tell yourself, you know, you start to tell yourself a different story. And as a coach, I always say, ask a different question. So today I had a client who had a situation and she was looking at it very logically from her perspective. And all I said was, ask a different question.
I love that. That's great.
And suddenly it went from her being selfish to her really realizing what she was doing wasn't selfish. It was actually helping someone.
Mm.
So it's ask a different question.
Yeah, I love that because we can teach our minds to change.
Yes.
We can.
Hallelujah.
And part of it is by just doing the action, that by doing the actions, our mind starts to catch up. Like the action could be like just telling yourself that it wasn't my fault.
Right.
I didn't deserve it. Or
I was just a little kid.
Yeah, you just,
I hear
just you change the story and right. You repeat it to yourself until finally your brain catches up and
exactly.
Realize, you know, learns yeah. the truth.
Right. And flip the script. I'm hearing that a lot. Flip the script. And I like that because it's like, yeah, flip that script
yeah.
And stop blaming yourself. And it doesn't mean you go and blame everybody else, but you stop blaming yourself. You look at the truth, and the truth is you were a little kid. There is no way in the world you were responsible.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter if you were a little beauty queen, like they talk about JonBenet,
yeah.
Ramsey. That doesn't matter. You're a kid, and an adult has to behave as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the child's fault.
Yeah.
And we forget. Sometimes we forget we're children. We think we're the age. It's like when we remember or when we address it, we sort of think we're at that age. So when we go look for a child that age, you go look for a 4-year-old, you go look for a 5-year-old, and you go, oh my God, that kid couldn't be
yeah.
responsible.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
how old I was.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to convince, you have to reteach your brain.
Yes.
And flip the script.
Right.
Literally, you know, it wasn't my fault.
Right.
So many of us blame ourselves
right.
or take the blame from someone mm-hmm. else.
And our mind can change our brain.
Yes.
And there's also some other elements. If you're a sibling and a sibling was abused too.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, if I hid really good, sister got it.
Yeah.
And so there's all that kind of guilt too. Again, you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
And all you know, when survival kicks in, all you know is fight, flight, freeze, or rationalize. You know, try to, you know, like accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an instinct. So that's what you do as a child. And the good thing is Dr. Caroline Leaf, who you know I love, says mm-hmm. our mind can change our brain. And if we believe that, then we tell ourselves the true story. It's not my fault. Not my fault. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, your brain's going to know it's not your fault. And you're going to go, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, it catches up.
Yeah.
So disclosure is important.
Yes.
It can be very important.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't go into it with expectations because you don't know how anyone's going to react, but do go into it realizing there can be, you know,
ramifications.
You know, it's people are going to take it personally. It's,
right.
They're going to take offense. It's going to cause disruption.
Right.
So on.
And they're going to say all those things you misunderstood, or we've all seen the shows.
Oh, yeah. Or right. you know, they're going to blame you mm-hmm. for messing up everything in the family
exactly.
and so on. There's just, you know, do what you have to do, especially if your heart tells you you have to do it. But just be aware of what can happen. But also realize what your motives are for doing it. And if the motives are to have closure in your life, realize that might not be the best way. It probably isn't the best way because you're not going to really get healing from the disclosure necessarily.
But there is good feelings that come from starting the procedure
yes.
because it's validating who you are. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, vengeance is mine, mm-hmm. saith the Lord. I learned everything in the King James. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if you're going into it for vengeance, that motive isn't going to serve you. If you're going into it because the story needs to be told, the person needs to be, then that's a motive that, like, Kevin said, could really change things. But if you go in thinking, okay, everything's going to be the unicorn bubbles and glorious and, you know, all of that, rainbows and unicorns, that's not necessarily what's going to happen. You go in saying, I'm doing what I have to do because I have to do it.
Yeah, and it needs to be told. And, you know, this person needs to be stopped. There's definitely important reasons for disclosure. But if you need closure, I mean, you're going to find closure from facing what happened to you and addressing it in your life.
And also, there's kind of a story we tell ourselves that, especially if you're an older child and you sort of took the brunt for the, like, I'll stick around because then the little ones won't get it. The truth is, the little ones probably are getting it. So it's like really telling yourself the truth of what is really happening. And sometimes that's hard, but guilt doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
You have to look at how a child would behave. And we all know the Lord of the Flies. Kids don't know how to function on their own. And so we only do what we know in survival. The amygdala kicks in. We do what we have to do. And that's why telling the story is so important, because then we can begin to make sense of it.
Yeah, that's how we make sense of it, is by actually either writing it down, speaking it aloud, telling it to someone.
And like me, I went and reported. I felt it was the right thing to do, the statute of limitations. But I knew I took the step I needed to do, even though they couldn't acknowledge it. I knew that I had to stop them from hurting other children.
Yeah, or at least try to stop them.
Try to.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, I found out that they couldn't do anything, but I felt better because I at least tried.
Yeah. So it's very important. Disclosure is very important. It can be.
But it's not your savior.
No. And it's not necessarily what will bring you closure. So just be mindful with disclosure and with closure and what you're looking for.
And also trust yourself. You know, I know that often it's like when you get that no, or when you, you know, have to say the story, or when you get blamed, oh, it was your fault, is just knowing what you know, and there's a saying in AA, know what you know, and also, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So if you hold this story and you never tell it and you never pursue any kind of way to stop it, then nothing will change. And we may think it stopped with us, but I'll tell you, I know people who were abused by their father and they have children and they let the father babysit their children because they think, oh no, it was just me. But that's not necessarily the truth. And that is, in a way, it's a denial.
It is. And or we're told by the abuser, this is a special relationship I have with you. And
you're the special one.
It's because you're so special that I'm doing this with you. And of course, it's all lies.
Or for girls, if you weren't so cute, if you weren't so whatever.
So they're masters of grooming us. And so
there's a really great book I just interviewed. Her name is Elizabeth Melendez Good, and she was actually sex trafficked, and she wrote a book called Groomed, and it really is a great book to read because it shows you that all the things that they do to make you feel important actually had a motive behind it, and also shows that there's the possibility you're not the only one.
Yeah, that they're treating you like the only one, but that's how they're treating all the others as well.
When I worked at Esther's place, many of the girls would come in and they would say, oh, my boyfriend. But the boyfriend was pimping them out.
Was actually, pimping them and probably other
others,
women.
Right. Yes. But because they had been on drugs and they were confused, they thought because he made them feel very special.
Yeah.
So this is a hard topic, but I think it's important to definitely look at your motive. And like Kevin said, we're not saying don't do it, but look at it in a way that you know there's no guarantee of how it will come out. So the important thing is, if this is on your heart and this is what you feel in your heart you need to do, that you do it because it's on your heart. You do it because you need to, not because you're looking for revenge or because you're trying to stop someone. That's a good purpose too. But also knowing that your resolve and your closure is going to come from yourself.
Yeah, that's I think the important part for a lot of survivors is they feel like as soon as they, and we talk about you need to tell your story, but as soon as it comes out, everything's going to change.
Yeah.
Well, some things will change, but not everything, and not everything will change the way you think it will.
Right. It might get worse before it gets better. And, you know, when Charnel told me about Kevin and that she was going to marry him, and she said he was a survivor, and what I thought was cancer. I said, cancer? And she goes, no, childhood sexual abuse. And I had never, ever looked at myself as a survivor. That was not in my vocabulary. And I remember being like, wow, he's a survivor. I was a survivor, but I couldn't make that connection. And I think when we begin to see ourselves as the victor, as the survivor versus the victim, and that's part of what disclosure is about. It's taking control. This is not going to control me anymore.
Yeah, that's the important part. So that's it for today.
We are going to have a prayer time if you want to stick with us. If not, we believe in you.
We want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories.
If you like this podcast, please rate and review, because that's how other people can find us. And we really want to spread this message.
Father, I thank you for all the blessings you have given us, especially for your peace in our lives, that you have given us a place where we can find your peace and your support and also your love, that we can learn to love ourselves by your example of your love for us, Lord, and how you want us to know how much you love us, and also that you have a purpose for us, and you want us to know that purpose, and you want us to have your help with that purpose. You want to support us in that. Lord, I just thank you that you are always there, so we're never alone, and that we can turn to you with our fears and with our hurts and with our disappointments, and even with our disappointments with you, when we're disappointed that this happened to us and we blame you, you understand why we blame you, and that you know that we're hurt, and you hurt with us, Lord, and you hurt for us. And I pray that you would just comfort those who are listening to today, and that you would comfort those that need your love in their lives, that need your hope in their lives, Lord, and that you would be with them and know that they are not alone also. In your name I pray.
Lord, I thank you so much that you are for us, and I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I can't believe that, because I can't believe a child would be abused for a reason. But what I do know, Lord, is that we can take what happened to us and we can turn it around and we can throw it in the face of the enemy and say, you didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I just thank you that we have a story and that we can help other people, because we look around this world, and I know in the recovery world, almost every woman I know who's coming out of drugs and alcohol, the reason they got there was childhood sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And Father, I'm just so grateful that you have allowed me to be able to share my story, to be able to understand what women are going through and men. And Father, I'm just so grateful that you are a good God, and that we can look in the mirror and we can love ourselves because you love us, and we can move on. We don't have to hold on to all the shame, all the guilt, and all those stories, all those false stories that we were so programmed to believe, Lord. It's almost like a deprogramming. And I just pray that you will deprogram the person who's listening. You'll deprogram the story they've told themselves. And Lord, freedom from this is so amazing. I remember hearing about how you broke the chains, and I didn't understand that. And Lord, you do. You break the chains, because it does not have control over us anymore. It is something that we can actually use to our benefit to help others. And I'm so grateful that you are a good God, and that no matter what happens to us, you are there. And I remember somebody saying to me early in my recovery, imagine that God was there. And I thought, there's no way. Because if he was there, he would have stopped it. But then I realized everybody has free will. And if I have free will, then the next person has to have it too. And so, Lord, I'm just so grateful for your fairness. And I'm so grateful that I can lean on you. I'm so grateful that you're about forgiveness, and that you don't that shame, there's no place for shame, Lord, only redemption. Mm. And I thank you for that in your son's holy name. Amen.